The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce. Joe, the trade deadline has passed. Safe to say the biggest deal for the Flyers did not happen on actual deadline day. It happened on Wednesday. Sean Walker to the Avalanche. Danny Briere gets a conditional 2025 first-round pick. Let's start there, Joe. What did you think of the trade and the site still being on the future for Danny Briere?
Well, so because of when it happened, you could argue that it hurt the on-ice product currently. Mm-hmm. But all things being equal, if it didn't, if the injuries weren't what they are, it hurts the on-ice product. But coming into the season, you had Sean Walker on a one-year deal. To think that at the deadline you get a first-round pick for him, you couldn't ask for more. I mean, that's mm-hmm. What Danny has turned some of these guys into and kind of how they have maintained the eye on the playoffs, but the eye on the future and not kind of sacrificing sort of one for the other is, I think, admirable, particularly in the first year of this regime. I don't know how you could possibly argue with getting a one for Sean Walker. That's what this team needs to do. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about it. They have talked about it. And the messaging has remained consistent. You gather assets for the future. You don't sacrifice future assets for the present. Because, I mean, they know the landscape. This is not they're not a Stanley Cup contending team. Mm-hmm. But the object is to have them, once they get to that point, be that way for a sustained period of time and not just take a run at it once. Or, you could argue that Vegas might be a bad comparison because Vegas has pretty much competed every year they've been in the league so far, but they seem to go all out every season for the Stanley Cup. And to their credit, they won one, they were in another one. That's not what this Flyers team's looking to do, and they're really not in position to do so. I don't see how you could be in any way, negative about the return for Sean Walker.
I thought it was a great trade as well. To get a first round pick was huge. The irony there too is that when they acquired Sean Walker, they were very much taking on a contract there. They were taking on contracts in Cal Peterson and Sean Walker to get a first round pick in the Provorov trade, and here they are moving Walker for a first by taking on a contract in Ryan Johansson. So to get Walker,
and you have to give Sean Walker credit for how absolutely. He's played this year. I mean, he's played well. I mean, I know heading into the season, we weren't even sure he was going to be in the top six to be a regular in the lineup. And then by the time we were 20 games in, it was like the idea of him not being in the lineup would have been the most ludicrous thing. Yeah. So, it's a lot of credit to Sean Walker and credit to Danny Briere for sure for flipping him for a one. And I mean, now he's part of a surefire Stanley Cup contender, if not the favorite.
Yeah, I'm sure Walker is not complaining. I mean, he's going to get a great chance at a Stanley Cup run with a really good Avalanche team that's got stars on it. And then he's going to get a payday in the offseason. Kudos to him. I mean, very much a reclamation project. He tore the ACL and MCL in one of his knees couple years ago with the Kings, and to be able to be in this position now where he comes to a team that's in a rebuild and he wins a job, climbs into the top four, and now he's having a career year and he's going to get a chance at a Stanley Cup run. Pretty impressive for him. So it's funny, Joe, you hear around the league, some people are like, wow, we haven't seen quite a team in this spot like this, where they're in third place of the Metropolitan Division. They look like they're going to make the playoffs, and here they are very much focused on the future. So I think Briere showed he can stick to his word here and still have an eye on the future and not get caught up in one playoff run. I really thought he did this at the deadline. Would you agree?
For sure. I think, he seemed to satisfy both sides because he brings in leadership in Eric Johnson and Guriano. I mean, it's not as if they didn't add anything. They didn't sacrifice to add. And I think that's the key. So, you know, it's very much, I think I brought this up on one of the previous podcasts, there's this house money feel and they talk like they're playing with house money and that playoffs is house money. The part that's not house money is the future, and they're not sacrificing it. They're not willing to sacrifice it. And I do think it's an interesting approach because I don't remember it's a rarity in sports to acknowledge a rebuild and also have the team fighting for a playoffs. That just doesn't happen. I mean, when the Sixers did it, I mean, they bottomed out and were winning 10 games a season. They've been on a playoff spot for the whole season and have never stopped acknowledging the rebuild at the same time. So, I mean, if you can do it, more power to you. It's not an easy thing to accomplish. They seem to be accomplishing it so far. And to me, that's all the credit to them.
Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Joe, I really thought Briere was trying to strike a balance between selling but also not ripping the roster up. And to me, that's the reward to the team answering the bell here, making a surprise playoff push. He has challenged the players to dictate the speed of the rebuild, and you got to give them credit. They have turned this season into one that no one thought they'd have. So Briere didn't move Scott Laughton. He didn't move Mark Stahl. He, kept some guys. And then he added Eric Johnson, as you mentioned, for a 2024 fourth round pick. Were you okay with that deal and adding a veteran like that on an expiring contract?
Yeah, to me, I mean, Danny said it yesterday. They entered the deadline with 11 picks. They leave with 10. And you have a veteran that can help for this year. I mean, you're not completely abandoning the idea of this year and what it could be potentially, but you're also not hurting yourself down the line. It's not a top. Now, a fourth round pick could develop into Hall of Famer. You never know, but they didn't sacrifice a first round pick, a second round pick. It's a fourth round pick. It's a small price to pay for a guy. You know his resume. This guy's played in a lot of playoff games. Mm-hmm. That is something this Flyers team is lacking. Playoff experience. They bring in a guy that's won a Stanley Cup. Plenty of experience. So I think that was a valuable addition to this team and not really having to give up a ton.
I had very little problem with it. They got a 2024 fifth round pick by being a third party in that Flames Golden Knights trade. So now they have two first rounds in 2024 and they have two fifth rounders in 2024. So I think that alleviated the pain of having to give up a fourth round pick, and they need bodies on defense. I mean, they have three guys on injured reserve and they traded Sean Walker. Like, they are really thin at that position. It would be almost malpractice to not go out and grab a defenseman and try to give them just some bodies and some depth. I mean, they needed it. They were playing some really young players on defense and they're not exactly sure when some guys are coming back. So to get Eric Johnson for a fourth round pick, I had no problem with that deal, Joe. And then Wade Allison for Denis Giernov. Kind of two guys that are trying to get back on track in their careers and prove they can be NHLers. What did you think of that one, Joe?
So Wade Allison, a few years ago, he burst on the scene and it was like, this guy just goes to the net with reckless abandon. And you kind of had to admire the way he played. And then what started to happen was that style of play started getting him hurt. And there didn't seem to be adjustments. And maybe it might have had something to do with, I mean, there were some bad teams. So there's always this thing in sports where you beware of the player putting up numbers on the bad team because somebody's got to stand out. Somebody has to score. And when once the team began to become more competitive and some of the younger players started to realize potential, their NHL potential, all of a sudden it seemed like, and we talked about it last offseason, that Wade Allison seemed to be, we're not sure this guy's going to make the team. And then it's, I mean, he almost became a forgotten man. And Danny Briere said yesterday that a fresh start could do a guy like Allison good. And maybe that's what he gets now. Because the guy has ability. We saw him score. He crashes the net. He plays a style that is attractive to a lot of teams. So maybe a fresh start gets him going. It just, there were too many guys here that were on the level age-wise with him that passed him by to really have room for him. And we saw started to see that emerge over the last season and a half or so. And so I think that's a good, it's a good move for Allison. And as Danny pointed out, they're a little thin on that winger side where they got Gurianov. So that can help again now too. I mean, is he going to light up the score sheet? No, but is he a serviceable player? A guy that has experience? Yeah. And I think that helps.
The writing almost seemed on the wall with Wade Allison when he didn't make the team out of camp. I mean, he goes from playing 60 games for the Flyers last season to not making the team.
And listen, when you have to call guys up and it's Lixell and it's other guys and it's not Allison, it's kind of like, all right, this guy doesn't really have his place in this organization is very shaky at this point. So maybe he moves on to another organization and he gets a more solid place and a better chance to get back to the NHL level and maybe show, you know, another team what he can do.
Yeah, he was in a contract year. He's supposed to be a restricted free agent in the offseason. So Flyers probably felt the time was now. Like, they're not going to give him a new contract or really don't see him in their plans, try to flip him. And without a doubt, I think there's potential there. I mean, he was a second-round pick in 2016, so I could see teams probably remembering him from that draft and understanding that there's upside there. I think in the right spot, he can prove he can be like a bottom six guy in the NHL. Of course, he's got to stay healthy and he's got to be consistent. But I don't want to write Wade Allison off and act like he couldn't have been a fit here. He just wasn't. He didn't win John Tortorella over, and they got younger and younger. And before you know it, the young guys start pushing people out. And that's what happened. And Gurianov, Joe, a lot of intrigue. I figured, why not? In my eyes, he had 20 goals in 2019-20 in that shortened year that got cut off by COVID. And then he had a huge playoff run for Dallas when they went to the Stanley Cup final and lost to the Lightning. So I believe he was around 22 years old at that time. He's 26 now. Maybe they can get him in the right environment and see if he can stick here. I had no problem. And he's an unrestricted free agent making under $1 million. So I thought that was a fine trade. Figure really, why not see if he can help you now? And yeah, you resign him if you like him.
These are low risk, high reward moves, which is that's the business that this team is in right now. Yeah. And I think Danny referred to it yesterday as they were bargain shopping. And I don't think you can describe the Johnson acquisition or Gurianov as anything but a bargain. Yeah. No term on their deals, lower money, veteran leadership, experience, playoffs, Stanley Cup final, winning a cup in Eric Johnson's case. So, I mean, you can't argue with it.
Trade deadline is over. Now it's time for the stretch drive, Joe. I think we know who's going to be here, who's not. And 18 games to go, starting with Saturday night's game. See if the Flyers can finish this off and clinch a playoff spot and really surprise some people. But I think we've learned that the site is still in the future without a doubt. But they believe they can do something with this season. We'll see if the players can follow through on that, Joe.
Absolutely.
Joe, thanks so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. Can't wait to watch Flyers pre- and post-game live, hosted by our very own Joe Fordyce. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer.
Ashlyn Sullivan.
Oh, no, not hosting. Joe will not be hosting. You will not see him on TV. It will be hosted by Ashlyn Sullivan. Thank you, Joe, for that. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And of course, Flyers fans, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
One, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.